Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Welcome to Atlanta Business Radio. Stone Payton, Katie Galley here with you this afternoon. And Katie, it's time for our very special series, Audio Dust Jacket. We have with us in the studio this afternoon, author of Create Your Own Job Security. Please join me in welcoming to the broadcast, Mr. Hovey Smith. Good afternoon, sir.
Well, I'm very pleased to be here.
Well, we are delighted to have you. Tell us a little bit about what compelled you to commit these ideas to paper and write a book. In other words, what in the heck were you thinking?
Well, basically, we are now in the gig economy that everybody is now very familiar with. And there is a tremendous amount of uncertainties. Just a few days ago, of course, all this tariff business, whether it comes about, it will have enormous impact. Also, each week you seem to hear that some business is closing all its stores like Toys R Us did last month. 10,000 workers laid off. Kaplunk. Gone. There's no such thing as job security anymore. And so the reason I wrote this book is to provide in one readable, thin volume the necessary information that a person needs to have to formulate ideas for and actually bring to fruition his own business that he owns himself. So that when the guy comes around and says, "Hey, I got great news for you. You don't have to come to work tomorrow. And you see this nice big guy here with his huge pistol? He's going to walk you out the door, and you have 20 minutes to leave the premises, 1 minute for each year of your valued service, and thank you very much, and don't come back." So before you get that news, you'll already have your business going in the background. So you can take your severance pay, you can feed your business a little bit, and you can roar down the golden highway to success if you've done your homework.
Okay, I'm sensing a little scar tissue here. Did this scenario that you just so vividly painted for us, did that happen to you or someone close to you at one or more times?
Well, I'm a professional geologist, so I'm used to working job to job, usually during the summer months. So that happened, and I also work for industry for corporate America. And that scenario that I just described, yes, very much happened to me. So I speak from the truth.
Now, is this your first swing at writing a book, or have you written a book before?
No, this is my 19th book.
Oh, my. So you about got to figure it out.
Yes, sir. I can produce a book. Most of my books have to do with my other passions, which are hunting, outdoor cooking, bow fishing, crossbows, knives, spears, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So one of my better known books is Backyard Deer Hunting, Converting Deer to Dunner for Pennies per Pound.
I love it.
But this is an example of the numerous things that I have done. I've also done, 700 YouTube videos. I've done a year and a half of podcast radio.
Wow.
I've done a lot of stuff, but I am an extremely creative guy. Most people are not quite as gifted as I am in that direction, but there is something they can pull from their past.
They're probably more gifted than they realize if they'll capitalize on an exercise. Some disciplines yes?
Well, that is exactly right, and that's what I talk about in my book and how I show them how to do it. One thing I do, for example, is to have them think back through their past lives. What have they done? And systematically take a whole day and do this. Pull out their old clippings. Pull out their old awards. Go through this stuff and think, what was I thinking? Is any of this a valid business concept today? Did I approach somebody 20 years ago with an idea that may still be good right now, but I could never get it through corporate structure? Is that idea still viable? Maybe it isn't. But then again, it may be.
Now, are there parts of this book that for you came together easier, more quickly than others, or were there parts that you just really struggled with to get it like you wanted it, to articulate what you were really trying to say?
Well, of course, some of both. A lot of this book is a relation of my own personal experiences, drawing from it and making comparisons and contrasts with the modern day. Other parts of it are, as a writer, more mechanical. How to file for a U.S. copyright, how to file for a patent. And I go through the process and what I think might be a fun read, and also give the specific information. Okay, who do you apply to? Exactly how? What forms do you see? How long does the process take? Is it terribly costly to get a copyright? No, it's not. Is it terribly costly to get a trademark? No, it's not. Is it terribly costly to get a patent? Yes, it is. So these are the realities, you know, of the real world and what I explain in my book.
So let's take Katie. Let's get some real life counsel here.
Okay.
So Katie Galley, as most of our listeners know, and you'll be delighted to hear, above and beyond what she does here, she has her own podcast, her own enterprise, Keep Moving Forward. And in fact, we'll give you a little context for it so you can give her the best counsel. But I'm of the opinion, and I think the other third of the leadership team, Lee Cantor, would say the same thing, that among other things, it's probably about time for you to consider getting a book out there, because you've had some marvelous conversations with some great people. Before we get some counsel from Hovia on how to approach that or any other ideas you might have, just some quick context about what that is. Keep Moving Forward, so that Hovia knows and has the backdrop for this.
So Keep Moving Forward is a podcast where I interview current and former professional and collegiate athletes who successfully transitioned out of the world of athletics and into the real world. So whatever that looks like, if they started their own business, if they entered into corporate America, if they became coaches, whatever they did, it was they used everything they learned as an athlete to help them successfully transition into the next phase of their life. And so that's what I interview guests who have made that successful transition and what it looked like for them to determine what that success is.
Okay. Yes. From a sports life or from sports to business would be a working title. The concept is excellent, but you're doing several things here. One, you're selling knowledge. You're selling your own experiences and you're selling the collective experiences to others. You might run into a little bit of copyright problems there. If you are going to quote somebody in a book or use their content in another way than they originally gave it to you, mm-hmm. it's a courtesy, at least, if not a legal requirement, to say, yeah, can I use this in my coming book? And some may say, most will say, yes, go ahead.
If you frame it right, mm-hmm. most of them are probably going to be really supportive.
Yeah,
right?
It gives them added publicity. There may be some who say no, but you should offer them, you know, that potential. If they are public figures, then that is quite another thing. Public figures have public lives, and you can use any content that they freely gave you that's not otherwise copyrighted in a derivative work. That's one of the peculiarities of the legal system. Now, about writing the book. First off, think about who is your audience. Are you only speaking to sports figures who have been in competitive sports of various sorts? Are you only counseling them? Or are you reaching for an even larger market where you're using them as an example to counsel others? Sports figures of necessity have one thing going for them, an extreme drive to succeed, an extreme focuses. This can be both beneficial and, like most other things, detrimental. If you get too focused too long on one narrow field, you sort of get to the idea that you maybe can't do anything else, which is absolutely wrong. But the idea is to take that drive, convert it into another passion, altogether independent, perhaps.
Mm-hmm.
Many sports figures, for example, have gone into successful real estate. They've gone into acting. They've gone into other aspects of the arts. Or even franchise cookware, for that matter.
Now, wouldn't she already have a leg up, aside from the fact that she's had conversations and has gained insight from getting to know some of these people and build relationships? But she's also, because it's a podcast, she's actually captured a lot of these conversations, recorded these conversations. Wouldn't that be a tremendous leg up in crafting a book?
Yes. The challenge in that is to keep it in the same voice. So that,
yeah,
you know, you talk to individuals, and so you run and flow with the individuals. You pick up imitations from their conversations. You joke and blah, 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 which is fine. And I have some jokey stuff in there, as a matter of fact, where I talk about Chinese white spirits and the perils thereof. But
I hope we get to that.
All right. But you need to, you know, decide writing is different from broadcasting. Because writing, you're actually producing a coherent work that has to be well organized. Okay, what does these four people say? Are they saying the same thing? Do I have a chapter called Determination, for example? And all athletes will illustrate this property. Okay, which do it best? And do I have a chapter Thinking Outside the Box, which would be another logical chapter? Okay. These athletes, for injury or whatever, maybe can no longer do the athletic sports that they once did. Okay, what is outside the box? What are they uniquely qualified to do? Is it broadcasting? Well, that's an easy one. You know, you can broadcast your sports games or whatever, and many have. And some better than others, for sure. But some have made long-term successful careers. Some have become characters in their own right. They have become radio personalities. That is another type of gig. And that's something I do. I also do stand-up comedy. So we,
when do you sleep, Holly?
Little. To digress, a comment to that. We are all of us differently challenged and differently gifted. I happen to be a very creative guy, and these creative capabilities come on me so strong and so often that I either must exercise them or go mad. And in fact, that is a named mental illness of that nature. So I dabble and do a lot of stuff, and the failures in this is getting myself spread through thin.
Yeah.
But this is the creature I am. So I'll write my books. I'll do my videos. I'll do my comedy. I'll do my plays. I'll make my knives. And all of this keeps me alive.
All right. I want to get back to this book. It is chock full, 17 or more chapters of very practical counsel, illustration. But there are a couple topics I want to touch on because I'm personally interested in them, and it's my show. So,
yes,
chapter 6 and chapter 7. Chapter 6, selecting the best business model, and chapter 7, starting a business with minimal capital. Can you speak to both of those a little bit?
What I suggest people do is starting maybe even as early as high school. They start mowing lawns or doing something to earn a little money in their local area, but get used to the idea of being an entrepreneur, of having their own business, making their own money. Then, by the time they get into college or of that age, start thinking through what they would really like to do with their lives. List things that they can do. Make a list of 25 or more. Okay, I can mow lawns. I can wash cars. I can blah, blah, blah. But I really want to be a professional dancer. All right, maybe that's his passion. Making money as a professional dancer is a terrible profession. You know, that is, it's just wretched. But if that's your passion, all right, I'd suggest you strongly have something on the side. So you look through these and say, okay, what can I do now to make immediate money? Maybe it's selling stuff on eBay. In the meantime, I'm taking my dance lessons. So, all right, then I get to work. Maybe it's retail sales because that's the available job. But you categorize these businesses and you develop them as you need while you're continuing to work on what it is you want to do. So you go to dance seminars. You maybe take private training. You may even relocate to New York because that's where the demand is. And slowly progress through your profession. So finally, by the time you get late in life, you have your business already started and you're doing what you really wanted to do all along. And you do this for the rest of your life or as long as your physical abilities will allow. Now, to speak to your second question is, how do you raise money? Well, the first thing probably that comes to mind is eBay sales. Think of a category of product, specialize in it, and it become a world expert in whatever it is. It might be glass eyeballs. But sell these to the international market. So if Hollywood needs a glass eyeball specialist, you're the guy. And they pay very good money for the limited time they leave you.
Well, there really can be tremendous value and profit in having specialized expertise in a niche, right? Or even a suite of niches. That this idea of niches make riches, there's something to that, isn't there?
Yes. A recent example, Cabela's. Cabela's is a company started with two brothers and his wife selling flies they did not tie to fishermen in Wyoming. Trout fishermen.
Hmm.
2 weeks ago, they sold that company that they started in 1962 for $5.5 billion. Billion with a B.
That'll get them through retirement.
So, yes, they don't have to worry about anything anymore, except something to keep them occupied and busy.
Right.
They can't quit. And that's one of the things about this business is, once you get started with it, you probably can't quit. You'll just ultimately die like we all do.
Now, do you have a predilection for, do you prefer if you're going to start the next business, and it sounds like to me it could happen any day now, would you prefer for it to be customer funded, or do you like the idea and do you get kind of enamored with the idea of going out and raising capital and bringing on partners and that kind of stuff? Or
that can work for some people, but I don't like it personally for me. I like things I can control myself.
Yeah.
Now, my own late life business is Hovey's Knives of China. And this is an unusual proposition. I went back to ancient China. I was interested in coins as a boy. And one of the most unique things in Chinese coinage or in world coinage is a Chinese knife money. 3,000 years ago. Money that was actually cast in bronze, shaped like knives, with a hollow ring in the top that you carried around on a string.
This was money. This is how you bought goods and services.
This was money.
Huh. Yeah.
But the Chinese knife had to do more than just merely cut. And the example I'm holding in my hand right now is my medium-sized chopper. It has a truncated point, a square point. No point. In fact, it uses a scraper. It has a flat bottom. It's used as a chopper. It's wide, so it's used to serve with. It has a slope on the point, so you grasp it very near the end and use it to do very detailed cutting. It's also, of course, a very fine dicer or chopper. This ring on the end, which is about an inch and an oval rather than a circle, fits in the palm of the hand, so it's absolutely a non-slip grip. You can dip this knife in lard and do anything you want with it, and it will not slip in the hand. So this was an interesting multi-purpose tool. So I make them now out of modern carbon and stainless steels in central Georgia. Now, we produce, meaning my bladesmith and I, we'll make a few score, 100 of knives. That's not where the market is. The market is to franchise these original designs to other folks. Uh-huh. And then you collect royalty on the franchise. That way I don't have to build a factory.
Right.
I don't have to worry about workers. I don't have to worry about all of the associated stuff. We let other people who already got that material actually do the manufacturing. So this is how to formulate a business. The idea is to make once and sell often. And that's what
I like that formula.
And that's what I'm doing with this book. You know, I write it one time, but I sell it many, many times.
Right.
So that's a way to do a business without having to have a huge amount of cash involving investors and boards of directors and all of this kind of stuff, although that's another possibility if you're so inclined.
Right. Speaking of business models and books, though, so that is a business model and a path for a book is to craft a book that people are going to find valuable and sell a bunch of them and collect that money. But I'm also operating under the impression that there are people, and for me, the sector that comes to mind is the people in the professional services arena. Maybe I'm an estate attorney or a marketing consultant or a speaker, that maybe I could craft a book that would help me establish some credibility and, yes, share some thought leadership, but maybe it doesn't have to sell a gazillion copies. Maybe it just that is enough. Is that valid?
Yes.
Okay.
The reality is in the book world right now is many more books are published than read. many more books are bought than read.
Right.
So what the opportunity is, first of all, to answer the question that we were going through before with your co-host, yes, you need to have a book to establish credibility. Then what that opens up are speaking gigs. Where you have your plan, you have your, you do a little white paper or some handout material that you give to the participants, and then you charge for people to come. And this gathers a larger audience and increases your book sales, as well as opens a door to private consulting. Now, you'll notice if you go to my website, which is createyourownjobsecurity.com, there are basically three legs of it. There's a part of that website is about the book. Part of the website is about the blog that I write about things related to the book. I published a blog a few days ago about how to enhance the value of the lawn care worker by him doing extra work cleaning up around old trees.
Mm-hmm.
Then the third part of it is private consulting. So I have a consulting service where if somebody wants to consult with me about a topic, they send me an email. And if I feel like I can help them, then we'll arrange a time, and I charge $100 for a half hour. And then we'll discuss that specific topic and follow up with something in writing. Now, any number of people can join in this discussion. And that's a flat fee of $100 for a half hour's consult and a written report follow-up, which is a great bargain, by the way.
Yeah, it sure is.
And so that way I can talk to their individual problems. So basically they might hear about me on the radio. They might go to one of my events, which could be at a place like the Salvation Army, who foster business promotion and development among their innumerable other activities. And then, say, run into a problem or want some more detailed stuff from my book, then they can call me personally and talk about it. That way, you offer a complete range of services. So another thing for our co-host to think about is, okay, once I got this book, what am I telling people? What can I coach them about? I have all these examples. What are the teachable or learnable lessons that these people have taught me? Determination and drive can get things done. That's certainly the major one. But it's also perseverance through the traumas and ills that we're all, you know, accustomed to, particularly as you get older like I am. Because I'm 76 now.
Are you really? But and no doubt there are some truly transferable disciplines, rituals, things that people who may not be naturally gifted in an area, but they can increase their capacity, their effectiveness in some of these areas and produce some of these results, or at least move further down the continuum if she were to structure it and deliver it to them, right?
Yes. There are people who will only respond to certain types of responses. That's why I have 700 YouTube videos up. I have a dozen on how to start your own business, from how to create a name to what to do with it before you croak.
And this is free content that's just out there.
Yeah, it's out there on YouTube right now.
Wow.
You can just look up my name and go to it.
How many Hovies could there be out there, right? That's good. Have you enjoyed having that name, Hovey?
Yes, I have. It's been a blessing rather than being a William Smith.
Yeah, I'll bet.
It has, and I use it and encourage people when they're – I have a chapter on naming things – that if they have a unique, identifiable, easily pronounceable name, like Hovey happens to be, that by all means use it.
Yeah.
Use it as a brand. And so that is basically my brand, and my apologies to other Hobies who happen to be out there.
Well, no, I've had a similar favorable experience with the name Stone, and it's probably not quite as unusual as Hovey, but there are not a lot of people named Stone, and people do remember it, and, you know, it's kind of a good stage name, and that really, it's family name, and there's story behind it, and I've always tried to capitalize on it, and delighted that I had the name.
Yeah, it really works, and I'm sure you came by it exactly the same way. It is an English last name and was attached as a middle name by my great-great-great-grandfather to his son.
Oh, wow.
And so I'm actually William Hovey Smith III.
All right. So what's next for you? Where are you going to be putting your energy in the next, I don't know, 6-18 months?
Well, we're going to be pushing the book. It was accepted for exhibition at an international book fair in Frankfurt, Germany.
All right.
So I may well be going there. It depends on the cost and the benefits I would expect to arrive from being there. But among the things I hope to do is actually produce an English version of this for the Brexit market. Because England and the United Kingdom are in terrible turmoil right now, and it's going to get worse. So the idea of being able to think about, conceive of, and start new businesses in the U.K., is going to be a very, very important topic. And my book is already there, except I need to cast it for the British market. So I talk about how you do a British patent, how you do copyrights in the Queen's way, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But this means just modification of a few interior chapters. Most of the book contents will remain exactly the same.
Fantastic. Well, we got to wrap. We got to do this again. I'd love to do this every week. Before we do, let's make sure that our listeners know how they can reach out and have a conversation with you if they'd like, and how they can get their hands on this book.
Okay. The book is available at Amazon.com, and it is Create Your Own Job Security. It's also available as an ebook. Now, to contact me personally, you can do that at HoveySmith@bellsouth.net. Now, you can also go to the blog for the book, which is createyourownjobsecurity.com. You don't need a www or anything in front of it. Just put that in your computer, and it'll go rawr, 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 and get there. Yes, sir.
Well, it has been an absolute delight having you on the show, and in all sincerity, let's stay connected and think about doing this again sometime, okay?
Sure.
All right, until next time, this is Stone Payton for Katie Galley, our guest today, Hovey Smith, and everyone here at the Business Radio X family saying we'll see you next time on Atlanta Business Radio.